Deadly violence and technical issues, voting continued today in Afghanistan's first parliamentary election since 2010. More than 3 million people had cast their ballots going into Sunday. Voter registration is close to 9 million. There has been a heavy price to pay for some who turned out. 15 people were killed, another 60 were wounded, when a suicide bomber struck a polling station in northern Kabul, and a roadside bomb took 11 lives in Nangarhar province. What next in post-election Afghanistan? Indiana University scholar Nazif Shahrani spoke to VOA in Kabul.
I think the expectation is the outcome will be quite contested, and there will be charges and countercharges of all sorts. How they're going to sort that out, that is, who will be declared winners. The important role of this particular elected parliament will be, if it's going to happen, would be constitutional amendment.
President Trump says the United States will abandon the Intermediate-Range Nuclear Forces Treaty because he charges Russia has repeatedly violated the agreement.
We're not going to let them violate a nuclear agreement and go out and do weapons, and we're not allowed to. We're the ones that have stayed in the agreement, and we've honored the agreement, but Russia has not, unfortunately, honored the agreement. So we're going to terminate the agreement. We're going to pull out.
The Kremlin calls the U.S. action a dangerous step and denies it's ever violated the terms of the treaty. The agreement was signed by President Ronald Reagan and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev in 1987, after years of negotiations. It provided for the elimination of short- and intermediate-range nuclear and conventional missiles, something very much appreciated by Washington's Western European allies and thought to be a huge success for the United States. This is VOA News. As remnants of a Honduran migrants caravan makes its way north, the United Nations Refugee Agency indicates that the United States is on shaky legal ground in barring Central American asylum seekers from entering the country. It reports people fleeing persecution and violence have a right to international protection. An agency spokesperson says there is a sovereign right for a nation to control its borders, but international law governs the way countries must behave toward refugees and asylum seekers. The U.S. will have a tough time convincing President Trump.
I will seal off the border before they come into this country, and I'll bring out our military, not our reserves. I'll bring out our military.
King Abdullah II of Jordan says he's decided not to renew parts of his nation's landmark treaty with Israel. The two annexes in the agreement allowed Israel to lease two small areas of farming land from the Jordanians for 25 years. The deadline for renewal is late this week. The king gave no reason for his decision, but he's been under domestic pressure to end the lease and return the land to full Jordanian control. Another set of killings in Congo once again threatens to halt the effort to contain the spread of Ebola in the country. Allied Democratic Force rebels are being blamed for 13 civilian deaths this weekend and the abduction of a dozen children in the country's Ebola outbreak area, centered on the town of Beni in the country's northeast. Earlier, two Congolese army medical officers were killed by another armed rebel group, the first time health workers have been murdered in Congo. The country's health minister called it a dark day for everyone fighting the deadly virus. World pressure on Saudi Arabia is growing in the case of murdered Saudi dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi, especially in Europe. Along with France and Germany speaking out, the foreign policy chief of the European Union, Federica Mogherini, says the investigation must be thorough, credible, and transparent. There's been a dramatic increase in aid to the Indonesian island of Sulawesi, struggling to recover from its twin disasters of September. Here is Lisa Schlein.
Aid agencies are racing against time to get relief to earthquake survivors before the monsoon season sets in next month. The Sulawesi disaster is estimated to have killed more than 2,000 people, with at least 680 still missing. The government says around 68,000 houses are damaged. The UN Refugee Agency delivered 435 emergency tents for distribution to families made homeless by the earthquake and tsunami. The agency says that will provide shelter to around 6,500 of the most vulnerable. It says more emergency tents, sleeping mats, mosquito nets, and solar lamps will be delivered in the coming weeks. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A question in Britain today: what, if anything, will it mean that hundreds of thousands of protesters marched through central London streets on Saturday, demanding a new election on Britain's departure from the European Union? Gene Randall, VOA News.